This happened when I was still in elementary school. It was the New Year's holidays, and I was at home in the living room eating with my family, when my grandmother hugged me. However, the very next moment, I was looking down at myself asleep, and I had no idea what was going on. But suddenly, everything around me changed. Suddenly, I was standing somewhere about 2 kilometers from home, and I was so shocked that I didn't know what to do. I just stood there and cried. Just at that moment, my grandfather, who was working, drove by. "Hey! Hey!" I screamed at him, but he didn't notice and kept on driving. I chased after him on foot. After going straight, I turned right and kept following him for as long as I could see him. As I turned the corner, I recognized where I was, and I ran all the way home. The very next moment, I was lying on the ground covered in sweat, my grandmother sitting next to me. When I told my family what happened, they laughed at me. But thinking on it now, there's no doubt that I'd had an out-of-body experience. "If so," they said, "why did I end up in a place I'd never been before?" But the details of where I'd gone matched up perfectly with the real place. It was the path opposite the day nursery, but when I asked my parents about it, they said that area was dangerous, so they never let me go there. This all took place at night, so I developed a fear of dark places after that. Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Unless you're a patron listening to this early, this is the first episode of the new year, and to go with the theme, this week we're looking at various stories that take place during New Year's. New Year's is one of the most important holidays in Japan, and it's traditionally a time when people from all over the country return to their hometowns to spend time with family. Lots of people visit their local temples around midnight for the first temple visit of the year, and most places will close to allow people time to celebrate with their families. But, as you're about to see, it's also not a time without scary happenings as well. Our first story for this week is about a young man who returns home for New Year's and comes to a terrible realization about something that happened when he and his brothers were younger. Find out what in Secret with My Brother. When I was in the second grade of junior high, I had a younger brother in the fourth grade and an older brother in the first grade of high school. He lived in a dorm, so he didn't come back very much. I was a part of the track club, so I practiced running every morning. One summer day, I woke up early as usual and noticed that my younger brother wasn't sleeping in his bed like he should have been. I thought maybe he had gone to the toilet, so I didn't think much of it and went outside. I found my brother sleeping out there. "What's he doing out here?" I thought. But I had to go running, so I woke him up and then went for my run. Looking back on it now, I should have realized that the door was locked. After that, my brother would go missing occasionally, and I'd find him sleeping somewhere in the house. Sometimes he would be under the desk, or the table, or sleeping in the shade of the chest of drawers. I went back home for New Year's this year, having forgotten about all that stuff, and we got to talking about our memories of years past. Our mother mentioned how us kids had a bad habit of sleepwalking. I couldn't remember ever sleepwalking myself, and I had no idea that my older brother did it either. But then, I remembered something, and I asked my older brother about it. "Hey, did you ever have the same dream over and over? A dream about playing hide and seek?" I asked. "Come to think of it, when I was in elementary school, yeah, a few times. And did some kid ask you to play? I asked. They asked us to go to the river together, right? Although I never went, he answered. Yeah, me too. I also refused. Didn't the kid say something in the end as well? Fine then, I'll go with your younger brother, we both answered at the same time. Around that time, I stopped having the dream. Yeah. This month marks the 13th anniversary of my younger brother's death. One morning in January, I got home from running to find an ambulance in front of the house. Apparently, our mother found him lying cold in bed. I don't know whether he had the same dream we had, but maybe he got taken to that river. He was the youngest, after all. Or maybe it was plain old heart failure. My brother and I decided never to tell our parents about the dream. It would be our secret. This next story is about a young man's father who experienced something odd at his first temple visit for the year when he was younger. But it's not until 40 years later that he uncovers the terrifying truth. Find out what happens in Bell Ringing Temple. This happened to my father when he was in high school. He decided to go with a friend to a local temple for the first temple visit of the year on New Year's Eve. Being that the temple was so big, the place was packed with people that night. The temple had a bell located a short distance away from the main building. To get there, you had to go up some stairs close to the edge of the grounds. These days, if you pay money, you can go up and ring the bell, but in the past, people didn't really go near it. But on this day, my father and his friend went over. And what I'm about to tell you now is their story of the bell-ringing temple. The bell-ringing temple could be found at the top of some stairs. Now it's well maintained, and the area around it is a nice grassy lawn. My father and his friend climbed the stairs without thinking much of it, and when they got to the top, a man came walking towards them from the grassy mountains on the other side. Despite how busy the temple grounds were, they were the only ones near the bell, and they didn't sense anyone else, so they found it strange. They reasoned that maybe a couple had a fight, and the man wanted to be alone. So, when they saw him, they didn't think too much of it. The man dragged his feet and swayed as he walked, creeping them out. So they stopped on the spot. As the man approached them, this time he stopped in front of them. He swayed on the spot, staring at them. The pair stared back at the man as he swayed left and right. It was creepy, but they couldn't move, so they stood there frozen, looking at him. "Hey, he's looking at you, right?" my father's friend said to him. "Yep, he's looking at me. And now he's looking at me, right?" "Yep, he's looking at you." My father thought that perhaps the man was a little crazy. They didn't want any trouble, so they decided to run. "This guy's not right in the head. Let's get out of here," he said to his friend. "Yeah, let's go," he agreed. They agreed to hold hands and run. That way, when they both turned around, they wouldn't lose each other. "Listen, don't let go of my hand. As soon as we turn around, run," my father said. They turned and ran down the stairs, gripping each other's hand. A wind blew behind them and rustled through the grass like a wave, creeping them out even further. But the man didn't follow them, and they got away safely. But then this year, 40 years later, the story continued. That friend still comes to our house every year like clockwork to play mahjong with my father to see in the new year. This year, as always, he came over again. We used to visit that temple when we were in high school, huh? My father's friend said. Yeah, we went every year. Do you remember the bell-ringing temple? Then, all these years later, they finally learnt the truth. Yeah, I remember, my father said. That sure was creepy, huh? Seriously. To change the topic for a second. Hang on, his friend interrupted him. Every time I try to talk to you about it, you try to change the subject. Can you let me talk this time? What? Sure. So, we went to the bell-ringing temple that time, right? Yeah. That guy looking at us sure was creepy. Man, that takes me back. He was just staring at us. Right, that. Yeah, I remember, my father said. He came down from the mountains. He was walking strangely and I think he was a bit funny in the head. After that, we held hands and ran. And then that creepy wind blew. Ah. Did you see him? His friend asked. Huh? Of course I saw him. No, you're not listening. I didn't see him. Huh? What are you saying? He came wobbling towards us from the back of the temple. He was creepy, so both of us stopped. Right? Yeah, we stopped. But I just felt like something was wrong and couldn't move. Huh? What do you mean? My father continued. As soon as we reached the top of the stairs, I felt like something was wrong. It was like the moment I stepped over the line, I felt something dangerous up there. You stopped at the same time, so I thought you sensed the same thing. Yeah, because that guy was staring at us, my father said. We both confirmed that he was looking at us, right? Yeah, we did. But I could only feel something looking at me. Huh? So, you're saying he wasn't human? I never said there was a person there. Do you remember when we ran? What did you see then? I didn't see anything. Just the wind blowing creeped me out. So you didn't see it then? Well, I didn't either, but when we were running, I sensed his presence. It was like he was holding us under his arms, looking at each of our faces in turn. That whole time the wind was blowing, he was looking at us. First you, then me, then you again, over and over. Then, suddenly, the wind stopped. Yeah, now that you mention it, it did. When the wind stopped, he was gone. I thought we were safe. But I soon realized that you thought he was just a normal person. He thought it was strange that my father always brushed their strange experience off so easily. At first, he thought that maybe he just didn't want to remember it. But then as more time passed, he started to think that maybe my father hadn't seen anything after all, so he wanted to find out, once and for all. As for my father, he thought that his friend kept bringing it up because it was simply a scary experience they both shared. Hearing the full story now, he was shocked. It had taken him over 40 years to learn that he'd seen a real ghost. Ever driven along a dark road late at night and seen something off the side that you probably shouldn't have? The guy in this next story has. Find out why he shouldn't have taken a closer look in Car on the Mountain Road. Last New Year's, I was unable to send out New Year's cards early for a variety of reasons. So, at 11 p.m. on January 1st, I made my way to the post office to send what I had. I live in the countryside, so it was about a kilometre from my house to the post office. I rode my bicycle, and there were very few street lights and no moon, so it was rather dark. I had to rely on a torch to see. Being the countryside, I could count the houses I passed on one hand, so there was no traffic at all. Still, about 600 meters from my house, as I was riding down the hill, I came across a single parked car. The lights were off, and I couldn't see any people. Looking at it now, I probably should have suspected something suspicious, but I was riding downhill rather fast, so I didn't have much time to think at all. I went to the post office, sent my cards, and then got back on my bike to go home. I was pushing my bike up the hill when I came across that same car again. As I was passing it, the light attached to my bike shone on it. I hadn't noticed on my way downhill, but now that I was walking, I could see the windows were covered in red and what looked like handprints. I froze on the spot, dumbfounded. With things being as they were, I should have made my way to the closest house and asked them to call the police, but I don't know what I was thinking, so I approached the car. Someone came running out of the forest towards me. They were covered in blood and holding what looked like a sickle in one hand. I should have taken off down the hill towards the city again, but I was confused and instead made my way up the hill towards home. I pedaled as fast as I could, and when I looked behind me, I saw him chasing me with unnatural speed. Despite my gears being on their fastest setting and my adrenaline pumping, he was closing the distance between us. He attacked the back of my bicycle several times with his weapon, but I was able to dodge him, and finally, a house became visible in the distance. The presence behind me disappeared, and when I turned around, nobody was there anymore. I went back there a few days later with some of my friends, but the car was gone. And you might have expected to find a few drops of blood on the road from the guy who came running out of the forest, but there was nothing on the road either. And yet, there were scratch marks on the back of my bike from his sickle, as well as blood stains that had no doubt transferred from the end of it. I couldn't remember the make of the car, nor the number plate, but my friends told me I should tell the police about it anyway. At any rate, it was an unlucky way to start the new year, and I wanted to forget about it as quickly as possible, so I never got around to it. I'm generally an optimistic kind of guy, and I managed to completely forget about it. However, I was driving down the road in another prefecture just the other day when I came across the exact same car. It was in such a bad state that you wouldn't think only a few months had passed since the last time. Most people return home for New Year's in Japan, but what would you do if you got back and no one recognized you? That's what happened to the woman in this next story. But things get even weirder after that. Find out what happens in Homecoming. This happened just 3 days ago, when I returned home for New Year's. "Mom, I'm home," I called out when I arrived. "Who are you?" came the reply. "What are you saying? It's me." My mother looked at me as though I were a complete stranger. Then my older brother came out, and I thought he'd recognize me, but then he went, "Huh? What's going on?" I showed them my driver's license, but they just looked at me suspiciously. They had no idea who I was. Why? What was going on? We weren't getting anywhere, so I took a step back and racked my brain while crying. It was New Year's, so all the hotels were full. Not that there were any nearby anyway. I decided to visit a friend from elementary school who lived nearby. My friend wasn't there, but her mother was, and she thankfully remembered me. I told her what was going on, and she was shocked. "At any rate, it's late, so I'll go back with you tomorrow," she said. That night, I was both relieved and confused, and had trouble sleeping. When I woke up the next morning, my friend's mother wasn't around. I figured she went over to my mother's house before me, so I went as well. I approached the house nervously, and my friend's mother wasn't there, but mine was. "What on earth are you doing?" she screamed as she looked at me. "Huh? You said you'd be here yesterday. We waited all night for you, worried sick." "Huh? Huh? But I came yesterday and I was here all day. Nobody came." My mind went blank. I felt like I was about to be the victim of a massive prank and I couldn't think. "So, what were you doing yesterday?" my mother continued. "Huh? Oh, I went and stayed at my friend's house." "Hey, you stop that," she said upon hearing my friend's name. "Huh?" "That house burnt down the year before last. There's no way you could have stayed there." I couldn't believe it. I had stayed there the night before. I saw my friend's mother. "And her mother died in that fire," my own continued. I'm currently writing this from my mother's house. I still can't believe it. I went over to the house to see again, and the entire place was burnt down. Of course, my friend's mother wasn't there either. When I got home, I pulled out my graduation album and made a note of my friend's phone number. I decided to give her a call, but just as I expected, there was no response. It turned out that her parents got divorced a while back, and then her father got into debt and killed himself. But what was even more shocking was that there were no records of their graves or funerals or anything. It's like the entire family just disappeared. Like they never existed. And amongst all that, I wonder why her mother decided to show herself to me. The man in this next story heads out early to catch the first sunrise of the new year. But that's not the only thing he finds at the top of the mountain. Find out what in Ghost Couple. This took place when I went to visit a famous mountain near where I lived to see the first sunrise of the year. I drove up the mountain by car, but I was all alone on the dark mountain road. When I got to the top, there weren't any other cars, nor could I see signs of any other people. I eagerly awaited the sunrise all by myself, and then finally, the first rays of light began to shine. It was just as amazing as the stories said it would be, so I took my camera out and got lost in taking pictures of it. It must have been about 5 minutes later. I looked up from the lens to check my photos on the screen when I noticed a young couple in front of me. Huh? Some people other than me came to see the sunrise as well? I thought. I didn't pay them much attention and went back to checking my photos, but then a strange feeling washed over me. How had they come to the top of the mountain? There were no other cars or bikes nearby. The mountain wasn't so big that people couldn't hike to the top, but on my way up in the car, I hadn't passed anyone either. Maybe they got there before I did, I thought, but I hadn't seen anyone when I arrived either, and there didn't appear to be any places nearby to hide. Still, the sunrise was so beautiful that I couldn't miss it, so I went back to taking photos, and before I knew it, the couple had disappeared. They disappeared without a single sound. So somewhere in the back of my mind, I began to wonder. Were they ghosts? I grew scared, so I finished taking photos and jumped into the car. I wanted to be around other people as quickly as possible. I intended to return the same way I came, but as I drove, none of the scenery around me looked familiar. I need to get out of here as soon as possible, I thought. I knew that I'd taken a different road to the one I'd come up on, but I was so scared that I panicked and pressed down harder on the accelerator. But the further I drove, the denser the trees got. I can't keep going on like this. I'll have to turn back and find another road. I stopped the car and stepped outside for a moment to catch my breath and calm down. And then I hit upon a shocking realization. Only 30 centimeters ahead of the car, the road ended and turned into a cliff. I couldn't see it from the car because of all the trees and branches lying across it. If I'd kept going, I would have driven right over the edge. A chill ran down my spine. By the time I finally got back to civilization, the road that should have only taken me an hour to return on took me over 3. I was so hungry that I stopped by a nearby cafe to eat, and I told the server about what had just happened. That was probably the spirits of the couple who killed themselves there a few days ago, they said. The details matched what I'd seen. Apparently, the top of the mountain was a famous suicide spot. I've never been back there since. When a young man returns to Hokkaido to see in the new year with his parents, they get a little more than they bargained for when they find themselves lost on the way home. It's a small town they know well, so nobody knows how they could have gotten lost in the first place. Turns out some trickery might be afoot. Find out why in The Kitsune's Prank. This happened to me the day before yesterday, but it was so strange, so hear me out. I'm from a small town on the outskirts of Sapporo, in Hokkaido, and I went back home during the New Year's holidays. My father, mother, and I decided to go to my grandmother's house for dinner. My father drove us there, and I drove on the way back. But after eating, it was already past 8 p.m, so everything was dark. No matter how big of a city Sapporo is, as soon as you hit the outskirts, it turns into empty countryside. So, I was driving home, but I'm not exactly the most experienced driver. Nor had I ever driven down this particular road before, although my parents had used it numerous times. But my father sat in the passenger's seat and guided me back. We chatted for a bit, and then I asked him, "Where are we now?" "We've just entered N Town, so we're still a ways off from home," he said. It was dark, so I couldn't see very well, but it did look like the neighbouring N Town, which meant that we would be home in another 20 minutes or so. Driving long distances really is tiring, I thought, but as I drove down the road, I realised that I didn't recognise anything. I'd never driven down that road before. My parents always drove, so I figured maybe it looked different as the driver. Plus, it was nighttime. Then, suddenly, we pulled out at a T-junction. Everyone was confused. We'd never once come across a T-junction on our way home from the city. "Huh. Dad, which way am I supposed to go?" I asked. "Right," he said, panicking. I did as he said and turned right. We ended up on a narrow farm road made of gravel. There were no street lights, nor could I do a U-turn, so I slowly, fearfully, continued driving down it. But no matter how far we drove, we weren't approaching home, and my parents were getting more anxious as well. "It's like a kitsune has us in its grasp," my father said in the seat next to me. "A kitsune?" "Well, as long as it wasn't a ghost," I thought. But then just ahead of the car, to the right, I saw something small move. It looked like an animal, but at this time of night, it was creepy. Then I realised it was a small fox. "Ah, it's a fox," I said. "It's got to be a cat or something," my father said. "Ah." I could definitely tell as we got closer to it. It was a fox cub. I slowed down and approached it, and it looked at us with greedy eyes as it cut across the gravel. Foxes running across the road in Hokkaido weren't exactly rare, but still, there was something creepy about it. We drove for a little longer before coming across another T-junction. I turned right again. We finally reached a paved road, and looking around, the scenery seemed somewhat familiar. I was relieved. We returned home safely, and I had a drink with my parents as they told me about something that had been bothering them. My mother said that just before we got lost and entered the gravel road, she noticed we'd been surrounded by mist. I hadn't seen any such thing. But my father was even worse. He said he didn't say anything at the time, but he actually knew that gravel road. It was close to the nearby golf club, which meant that it was several dozens of kilometers away from where we should have been. Only 5 or 6 minutes had passed from when I asked him where we were. There was no way we could have driven that distance in such a short amount of time, and my father knew the way home as well, so there was no reason for us to have gotten lost. According to my father, when I asked him where we were, there was a dentist just up ahead, and that was where he made me turn right. But neither I nor my mother had seen it. And then next thing we knew, we hit the T-junction. In the end, there were no ghosts involved, but it seemed like we did have a run-in with a real kitsune. Our last story for this week sees a group of friends visit a hot spring hotel in the mountains. But when a hidden door opens into a long, abandoned hall, they soon realize things aren't quite as they seem. Find out what happens in The Door That Shouldn't Open. One New Year's holiday, myself, my boyfriend, his friends and my friends went to a hot spring in Chiba, 8 of us in total. There was a lake nearby where people could go fishing, and the scenery was beautiful, so we wanted to see the year out in style. Which is to say, my boyfriend enjoyed fishing, so he was the one who chose the place. First thing after booking the hot spring hotel, everyone wanted to gather outside at the lake to take a group photo. But as we actually made our way there, the road to the hotel seemed more like a small animal path than a real road. The further we drove, the less buildings we saw along the way. Finally, we could barely see any houses anymore either. There's nothing out here but mountains. It was so depopulated that I grew worried. But the hotel's selling point was Mother Nature, so what else could I expect? I thought. Plus, it was located in the mountains, so of course it would look like this. I felt nothing as we drove. The hotel itself was beautiful, but also gloomy. Looking at it made me feel nervous. My boyfriend was a so-called spiritual expert, and when he looked at it, he said with a straight face, "This place is scary." So that might not have helped either. He wasn't the type of guy to destroy the mood deliberately after coming all this way. So, if he truly thought something was scary, well, I grew nervous. But this was our vacation, so it would be our loss if we didn't try to have fun. We agreed to go to the baths and laze around until 11 p.m. when we would meet up again. It was our first time alone since we got there, so my boyfriend and I schemed to leave at the same time and spend some time together. The baths were right at the end of the hotel. We walked to the end of the hall, and the men's baths and the women's baths were next to each other. We agreed to meet at the chairs out front, and whoever got out first would wait there. We went in and splashed around for a while, and when I went outside, my boyfriend was already waiting by the chairs. I called out his name, and he leaned back, nearly falling off the chair. I was so surprised that I suddenly grabbed his collar. He was just as surprised and stood up. We looked at the wall behind him, and suddenly we understood. There was a door there. We thought it was just a wall, but there was a round doorknob sticking out of it, and when he leaned against it, it opened. We went to close it, but when the door opened, his phone fell inside. He had to get it. The end of the hotel held the hot springs. The end of the hall was the end of the hotel. It should have been a dead end. And yet, another hall continued inside. There were no lights. Not only that, but the window glass inside was broken as well. It looked rather suspicious. My boyfriend silently walked down the hall, and I followed behind him. "This isn't good," he said after we walked a short distance, and he grabbed my hand, running back towards the door. By the time we got there, both of us were covered in sweat. As we walked down the hall, I saw broken walls, a broken toilet, and smashed glass. I could also hear something that sounded like metal being crushed. When my boyfriend got scared and dragged us back, we had been standing at the top of some stairs. The only light we had was from the moon and my phone, but it looked just like an abandoned building. Plus, there were stairs that went down. We were already on the first floor. Why did they go down? We didn't see anything inside, so we both agreed to say nothing about it. I felt like we couldn't say anything about it. But we decided to ask the hotel staff about it the next day, and tried to shift our moods back to the impending New Year's celebrations. The next day, my boyfriend and I went to see the master of the hotel and talked to him. We told him about the door opening and what we saw inside. "That door doesn't open," he said with a smile. "It's locked." He went with us to check, and just like he said, it really was locked. But we had seen what we'd seen. He said that it was an old hotel that was now closed, but there were no stairs at the end of the hall. He took out his keys and opened the door to show us. He opened it outward, towards us. The day before, it opened inward, meaning someone on the inside must have opened it. Odd. And there were no stairs at the end. "This is the first floor," the master said. "There's no basement, and this section used to be a hotel as well, so I remember it well." But the two of us really had seen stairs. Now, however, they were nowhere to be seen. I was so scared that I couldn't say anything. Why did the door open from the inside, even though it was still locked? And what on earth were those stairs? Even now, several years later, my boyfriend and I still talk about what that place might have been. Happy New Year, everyone. Don't forget to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TaraA Devlin if you'd like to support the show and get even more bonus episodes right now. Or visit our YouTube channel at youtube.com/KawabanaJapan for even more creepy stories throughout the week. Here's to another great year full of creepy ghosts, terrifying monsters, and the mind-bendingly unexplainable. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time for even more Kawabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to kawabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to kawabana.net now.